The report is out, How America Listens. It's the business news headlines for Wednesday, the 5th day of July. Hope you had a safe 4th of July holiday weekend. In other news, Fed minutes revealed talk of more rate hikes, and the markets, yeah, they reacted. Everyday Americans are no longer giving to charities, and they have a reason. More on the feud between Facebook and Canada. New laws target foreign ownership of farmland. JetBlue is not going to challenge a recent ruling. We'll share what that's all about. We've got the Wall Street Report, and is Meta about to launch a rival against Twitter? For the interview, a conversation with professional photographer and videographer Brent Eisenberger about the changes in his industry. Let's go.
Insight on business news and comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease. And yes, this is the Wednesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, grateful as always that you have decided to spend some time with us today. Want to follow us on Twitter? You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. The report that just hit is called Audio Today, How America Listens. The in-depth report is all about radio, streaming services, podcasting, and more. Audio Today comes to us from Nielsen, a global leader in audience measurement, data, and analytics. It's the industry standard when it comes to how individuals consume content. While time doesn't permit a complete review, let me offer you some of the highlights. Among adults 18 plus, it is radio that connects with the most listeners or TV watchers or streaming. Some 91% of Americans listen to the radio. In the audio universe, only AM/FM radio delivers the most audience at the same number, 91% of Americans. YouTube, satellite radio, Spotify come in at only 29 to 14%. And in the vehicle, radio outranks everything. So what about podcasting? Podcast consumers are shifting their habits to listen more while commuting and traveling, most often during the traditional drive times during the work week. At the same time, heavier podcast usage is growing, 5 or more weekly hours of listening time, while lighter usage, less than an hour per week, is in decline. 58% of the population listen to podcasts from 1 to 7 hours a day. That's up from 54% just last year. And what podcasts are popular? Now, leading the field is comedy, followed by news. We thought you might like to know. In a sign of growing division among members of the central bank, the minutes of last month's Federal Interest Rate Setting Committee indicate that some officials favored a quarter-point increase or said they could have supported such a proposal. In the end, the Fed did not raise rates last month. The Associated Press is reporting that though last month's vote to keep rates unchanged was unanimous, it's relatively uncommon for the central bank to stipulate in the minutes of Fed meetings that some officials had disagreed with the committee's decision. 12 of the 18 members of the rate-setting committee projected at least 2 more rate hikes this year, 4 envisioned 1 more increase, and just 2 officials foresaw keeping rates unchanged. As a result of the disclosure of the committee meeting, Wall Street ended the day lower, and I'll have those numbers for you in just a bit. A new survey is out about how Americans feel about giving to charity, and it's pretty shocking. The AP is reporting that nearly half of those who stopped giving to charity over the past 5 years said they did so because they thought wealthier people could afford to give more, and they should. Others said they simply could not afford to give. The survey of more than 2,100 adults across the United States, released by the Better Business Bureau's Give.org, adds to research on the shrinking number of households that contribute to charity each year. Back in the year 2000, 66% of American households gave to a charity, and that's dropped to just over 49.9% in 2018. The impact of the decline became even more clear when a Giving USA report revealed donations from individuals dropped by 13.4% after inflation and led to one of the steepest declines in contributions in recent decades. Art Taylor is the CEO of the Better Business Bureau's Give.org organization, and he says many nonprofits have attracted wealthy donors to their causes, and that is turning off people of more modest means who don't think their gifts are needed anymore. Middle and upper income Americans were especially likely to point towards super wealthy donors for their decision not to donate. More than 59% of those surveyed with household incomes above $70,000 a year believe that wealthier people should drive donations. If you remember, we recently had a story about how Canada passed a requirement that technology companies like Facebook should pay news outlets when they repost news on their feeds. That was something that was cheered by legacy news outlets in Canada. That led to the parent company of Facebook, that would be Meta, to declare it would no longer post news feeds in Canada. Well, now the Trudeau government has announced it will no longer place any advertising on Facebook. The annual report on government spending shows the federal government spent just over $11.4 million Canadian dollars, that's about $8.6 million U.S., that advertising on Facebook and Instagram was in 2021 and 2022. Now the Trudeau government says no more. So who owns that farmland across the road? Might it be some foreign nation? You know, it wasn't that long ago that we knew it was the farmer who owned the farm down the way, and that has rapidly been changing, and now a raft of laws are restricting foreign investments in farmland. USA Today is reporting that in the South, new restrictions have been proposed or passed this year in Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And as of July 1, no one on the U.S. Treasury Department's list of sanctioned individuals or a citizen of a sanctioned country can buy real estate in Tennessee. In the past, most state laws restricting any foreign ownership, and the laws mainly targeted what are being called the Big Four: China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia. And China is often framed as the greatest threat, even though only a tiny fraction of U.S. agricultural land is owned by Chinese interests. The largest foreign landowners are from Canada, with 12.8 million acres, followed by the Netherlands, Italy, the United Kingdom, and Germany. All of that according to a most recent U.S. Department of Agriculture data from 2021. And by the way, Chinese interests held just 383,000 acres that year. But fear is a huge motivating factor, and proponents of these laws say it's all about food security. JetBlue says it will not appeal a judge's ruling to undo the airline's partnership with American Airlines. CNBC is reporting that New York-based JetBlue is in the process of trying to acquire budget carrier Spirit Airlines. That's a deal that has already been challenged by the Justice Department as the Biden administration seeks to crack down on consolidation that it finds hurts competition. JetBlue's deal to buy Spirit came together after JetBlue and American launched a partnership in the Northeast. The so-called Northeast Alliance, approved during the last days of the Trump administration, allows the two carriers to share passengers and revenue and to coordinate schedules. But a federal judge ruled back in May that the partnership was anti-competitive, ordering the two airlines to undo the alliance. That decision leaves American Airlines to appeal the ruling on its own. The Fed and rate increases wasn't the only thing on the minds of Wall Street investors. Weaker-than-projected growth in orders for factory goods set cautious tones on the U.S. equity markets, and Wall Street ended the day in the red. The Dow was off by 129 points to close at 34,288, while the Nasdaq finished Wednesday down by 25 points at 13,791, and the S&P 500 fell by 8 points, ending the session at 44.46. West Texas Intermediate crude gained big time on the day, closing near $72 a barrel. And finally, there is this, and this is about Meta, going to be launching a Twitter rival. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Meta looks to release Threads, a new micro-blogging app, on Thursday. An official announcement is yet to be made about the new product, reportedly called Our Response to Twitter, by Meta's chief product officer, but it's expected the company will build Threads off existing Instagram user data. Meta has been developing the product since January, attempting to get famous figures such as the Dalai Lama and Oprah on board as early users. News of this comes as Twitter experienced an outage over the weekend, and owner Elon Musk announced temporary limits on tweet reviews for users due to extreme level of data scraping. That's what he said. By the way, the app is already listed on Apple's App Store and described as expected to be released on Thursday. All right, click ahead for a conversation about the changes in photography, both personal and product shooting. It's with master photographer Brent Eisenberger. Have a listen.